Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Welcome to today's readings. We're going to continue with the book of Tobit, and I think you're going to be able to identify with Tobit. Here's Tobit. We read about him yesterday, and he's serving the poor. He's burying the dead. He's doing what is right. He's putting it before himself. Now listen to what happens to him today. Tobit chapter 2, verses 9 to 14. On the night of Pentecost, after I had buried the dead, the kinsman that his son had found in the street, and after I had buried the dead, I, Tobit, went into my courtyard to sleep next to the courtyard wall. My face was uncovered because of the heat. I did not know there were birds perched on the wall above me till their warm droppings settled in my eyes, causing cataracts. In other words, he couldn't see. It created a film over his eyes. I went to see some doctors for a cure, but the more they anointed my eyes with various salves, the worse the cataracts became, until I could see no more. For 4 years I was deprived of eyesight, and all my kinsmen were grieved at my condition. Ahikar, however, took care of me for 2 years, until he left for Elymais. So he was cared for. At that time, my wife, Anna, worked for hire at weaving cloth, the kind of work women do. And when she sent back the goods to their owners, they would pay her. Late in winter, on the 7th of Distress, she finished the cloth and sent it back to the owners. They paid her the full salary and also gave her a young goat for the table. On entering my house, the goat began to bleat, so he's blind now, and in she comes with this marvelous gift. I called to my wife and said, "Where did this goat come from? Perhaps it was stolen. Give it back to its owners. We have no right to eat stolen food." He jumps immediately to some conclusion. He sounds a bit paranoid to me, but he reacts to this, and she says, "It was given to me as a bonus over and above my wages." Yet I would not believe her and told her to give it back to his owners. I became very angry with her over this. So she retorted, "Where are your charitable deeds now? Where are your virtuous acts? See, your true character is finally showing itself." This man who has tried to be righteous and to live life according to the ways he believed that he should, then what happens? He's blinded for 4 years. You'd think, you know, where is God? Here I am serving God, and where is God? I've been deprived of my eyesight. Must have been a very difficult 4 years to him. Well, what happened out of it was he became cranky. He became afraid. And he takes it out on his wife. Common thing for us, isn't it? We take it out on those closest to us. But she says, "Where are your charitable deeds now?" In other words, you're not acting in a very virtuous way. You're telling me I'm lying, or that the people I'm serving are thieves. You're accusing everybody of all kinds of things. Your true character is finally, finally showing itself. You really are just like the rest of us. We all know how that goes. Psalm 112, "The heart of the just one is firm, trusting in the Lord. Bless the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed." We have to leave Tobit where it is, because we're going to be reading from him in the next few days, and you'll hear more about Tobit. So that particular episode is ended, and we'll see where we go next. And in some ways, it sounds a bit like a soap opera, doesn't it? But the Gospel of Mark today, chapter 12, verses 13 to 17. "Some Pharisees and Herodians were sent to Jesus to ensnare him in his speech. They came and said to him, 'Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you are not concerned with anyone's opinion.'" Now, notice they wanted to ensnare him in his speech So how do they start out? By praising him. And Jesus knows what's in their hearts. Jesus knows. Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you are not concerned with anyone's opinion. You do not regard a person's status, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? They were trying to cause a division so that Jesus could be arrested. If he spoke against Caesar, then he would be subject to punishment. That's what they were trying to do. Should we pay or should we not pay? And look, Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why are you testing me?" He just must have, I bet there was a good pause there. He must have just looked into each one of their faces. "Why are you testing me?" He knows he's being tested. He knows that they're trying to set him up. "Bring me a denarius to look at." They brought one to him, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they replied, "Caesar's." So Jesus said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." That was very clear, and at that point they had no answer. He caught them in the trap. One of the things we need to understand here, brothers and sisters, the first reading and this one, motive is of the highest importance. Motive. Because Jesus sees into our hearts, and no matter what we try to camouflage, even if other people are duped, God is not. Just because you manage to fool some other person, God is never fooled, brothers and sisters. Never. I want you to really think about that. In the first reading and now, the real motive is what's of importance. Tobit was really trying to be good and serve. Yet at the same time, he wanted respect. He couldn't believe that his wife would speak against him. And he had also gone through a great physical trial. He was a bit debilitated. He was a bit vulnerable. And he reacted. And his wife took advantage of that moment. Even though his motives in many cases were good, here he was falling short. He didn't trust. He didn't trust the person on this earth that he should have trusted the most. We all fail, brothers and sisters. We all fail. So the most important thing is the intent by which we do deeds. Do we do them in order to be praised and honored? Or do we do deeds because God has asked us to care for the poor and needy, and we do them simply out of love for him? Now, the human condition is such that our motives are most commonly mixed. It's a little bit of both. What we want to do is more and more train ourselves, "Lord, I want to see you honored, you glorified." Every day in the morning offering, "Lord, I offer all I think, say, and do this day for your glory." And even if I forget, even if I do it for human motives or selfish motives, please, Lord, know that in my heart I want to do it for you. Help me change my life so that even my selfish deeds may become unselfish. You pray that way and God will answer your prayer. He would love to answer your prayer. To use another analogy, when we offer to God an act of mercy towards someone else and we offer it for God's honor and glory, it's like a symphony, the music of which we have never heard on this earth. It will be so sweet and so beautiful. And you can't imagine the cacophony that goes on when we do the right things for the wrong reasons. You see, all we can see, hear, touch, taste, and feel is what comes through our senses. but our faith can give us vision that can be even more real, to see heaven and to see what counts in heaven and to live our lives in accord with the will of our Father. That's what God wants. That's what he's seeking. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. All of us. All of us. Whatever we need to do on this earth to meet our needs, to fulfill our obligations, render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Render to the government what belongs to the government. To our employer, whatever. But render to God what belongs to God. And what belongs to God is my every thought, word, and action. Really. I was created by him. I was created for eternal glory. I was created to give him honor. I was created to bless him. In my every thought, my every word, my every action. The question is, do I do this? Do I do this? Archbishop Chaput, who is the archbishop in Philadelphia, says this: if we believe in an afterlife where we're held accountable for our actions, then that belief has very practical implications for our choices in this world. For Christians, the trinity of virtues we call faith, hope, and charity should shape everything we do, both privately and in our public lives. Let me repeat that. For Christians, the trinity of virtues we call faith, hope, and charity should shape everything we do, both privately and in our public lives. Is that true for you? Faith in God gives us hope in eternal life. Hope casts out fear and enables us to love. And the love of God and other human persons, the virtue of charity, is the animating spirit of all authentic Christian action, even political. By love, I don't mean love in a sentimental or indulgent sense, the kind of empty love that offers tolerance as an alibi for inaction in the face of evil. I mean love in the Christian sense, love with a heart of courage, love determined to build justice in society and focused on the true good of the whole human person, body, and soul. You want to read more of Archbishop Chaput's writings. This one comes from Magnificat magazine. But you want to read that because what he's saying is that faith, hope, and love has to fill our every thought, word, and action. And whether it's in the political arena, whether it's in the family arena, whether it's in a social arena, wherever it is, if faith and hope and love motivate our thoughts, our words, our actions, then we are true Christians. Then God can use us. Brothers and sisters, your motive is so important. Your intent is so important. Please pay attention to it. And may God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.